Hey, alrighty. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We do, and sometimes they scare you.
Yeah, sometimes spooky comics. Ooh,
sometimes ridiculous comics that are supposed to be spooky.
Yeah, spooky elements.
Like this one.
Yeah.
This is our second week of horror month. We start off with Deceased. This week we're doing Kiss / Army of Darkness, not Versus or anything. I checked. Typically it's like a Versus type thing.
I feel like more often it's like a slash.
Yeah, why is that?
Just because it's like a crossover kind of thing.
Yeah, but to like, it doesn't roll off the tongue to be like Kiss / Army of Darkness, you know?
I don't know.
And Kiss is literally versus Army of Darkness in this, so.
So it could have worked.
It could have worked.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know why the people mark it like that.
Because I think
that
the Marvel Zombies Army of Darkness was slash as well.
I know. And so. It was dumb because he was versing them. Versusing them.
Yeah, I have no clue.
A little silly.
But we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, like you said. We got Back Matter Matters and the poll list, which is all the shit we've been reading and watching on top of the book that we read. But we start with the news. And what kind of news you got today?
This is like announced today, I think, but they announced a dynamic duo movie for the story of Robin or the Robins, which is going to be Dick Grayson and Jason Todd. James Gunn had announced it, so it's official, and it's coming from a studio named Swaybox, and it's going to include a mix of animation, puppetry, and CGI, and live action, apparently.
Yeah, I saw like a clip.
Was it like the demo?
I think so.
It was like a Swaybox demo, like real thing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was a demo or if it was like from one of their old projects or something like that.
I think it's like a demo of them like fleshing out some ideas just like with
property.
Yeah, I saw it too.
Looks weird.
It does look weird. I like it though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Does it seem like a good idea? No.
We'll see.
But
we will see.
Nathan, you like Jamie McKelvey?
Yeah, I like him. Yeah. In general, yeah.
Well, he's got a new distillery book coming out. It's called One for Sorrow.
One for Sorrow.
Coming out this November, where he is writing and doing the art.
Oh, cool.
Or maybe he's just writing. I don't know. Can't remember. It's about a killer in London in the 1900s.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We will see how that
goes. If he's ever written anything. But I believe in him. If he puts as much time into his writing as he does his artwork, it'll be excellent.
Yeah. That guy.
Yep, writer artist.
Oh, nice. Daniel, DC's Batman smells Robin laid an egg. It's going to be their Christmas thing, I think, this year.
You like said that as if like Batman smelling something.
Batman smells Robin. He lays an egg. As he lays an egg. Mm. But yeah, that's going to be their Christmas thing this year. And Riley Rossmo did a cover for it. Or the cover. I don't know.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so that's their fun Christmas thing.
Riley Rossmo's been growing on me lately.
He's great. I've liked him ever since he was on Martian Manhunter.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Because I was like, what a weird fucking artist.
Did you get the DC Halloween thing today?
I looked at it, and I looked through the creative teams on it, and I was not super interested, and it's also $10. So
I know what you did last Crisis.
That's such a good title, and it's good enough just for the title and the Dan Hip cover. But no, I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
Dang. Maybe I'll buy it, and I'll let you borrow it.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Because I am interested.
We can go halvesies.
I always like to see. I'm down to go halvesies, actually.
I'm just kidding. But who keeps it, you know?
But I want to support those because like typically there's like new talent and stuff on there. And like I was flipping through the pages and I was like, these look like really good artists. I didn't recognize any of them.
I kind of love an 8-pager. I also kind of hate an 8-pager.
Sometimes they're really hard to get through.
They might.
I'm like, why did this 8-pager take as long to read as a full fucking comic sometimes?
Because they're trying to jam so much shit in 8 pages.
I've learned to skip the ones that just aren't my vibe. Because if you just like force yourself to read through all of them, it's just not
if
great.
You're lucky, there's like one that you like.
Yeah.
You know,
DC in general. DC in general is, I think, pretty good at making those.
Yeah.
Like the themed ones. Like there's the Valentine's Day, the Guy Gardner one. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
How to lose Guy Gardner in
10 days,
in 7 days, 10 days, something like that.
Yeah. That was good. they got the puns down, Nathan.
They do. The puns are great.
They know how to market it for sure.
Yeah. So the Batman smells Robin laid an egg. I'm surprised it took too long.
What was last year? Grifter got ran over by a reindeer?
Yes.
Nathan, Marvel is coming out with a TVA comic. The Time Variant... Time something authority.
Time Variance Authority.
Yes. Coming out with a comic. It's going to include Channing Tatum's Gambit.
Okay. Nice.
Coming out December 18th.
Is that real?
Yep.
Channing Tatum's Gambit's going to be in it?
Yeah.
But like, just Gambit or like specifically Channing Tatum's Gambit?
Specifically Channing Tatum's Gambit, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think, or that's how they're selling it.
Is the lettering just going to be like no spaces between those?
Essentially. Written by Catherine Blair and art by Perry Perez.
Okay, because there's that deleted scene where he's like done beating up all the guys. He survived Alioth or whatever that big cloud was.
Yeah, and then there's there's a portal.
There's a portal and you see it in the glimmer of his eye.
Yeah, and he jumps into a comic. That's what he does.
Yeah, that's what their plan was with that whole movie.
They just replay the deleted scene in the first four pages.
Whoa.
Or the first two pages.
Okay. That's interesting to me.
That was a joke. I don't know if that's what they're doing.
What? There's no Channing Tatum's Gambit in it?
There is Channing Tatum's Gambit.
Oh.
But not like, I don't know if it is relates to the deleted scene.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
But
I'm not getting it. It's funny, but it's a thing. It's news.
I'll flick through it. The TVA is like a
place? Organization.
No. Was that a thing that was created for Loki?
I'm pretty sure.
The show? Yeah. Because I don't think I've ever heard of it before. Because then, I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about like time keepers or like time travel?
Love
like,
it.
Do you like that concept in general?
I think it's awesome.
Sometimes I like it. I like it in the, like when Kang is like kind of fucking things up or like trying to fix things or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of fun. And then DC has like the, what, like Legends of Tomorrow or whatever.
Well, there's that one that was in Deceased. Is like Wave Rider or something.
Yeah, Wave Rider. He's kind of cool, huh?
Whatever the fuck? No, he's dumb.
I think he was in.
I just remember one that's like played by like Key and Peele or something in like Rick and Morty.
Those
like booger looking guys. They're funny.
Yeah, so book could be good.
Could be good.
Daniel. Alan Tudyk was cast in James Gunn's Superman. As something. We don't know what yet. But my guess is...
Crypto the Superdog.
No, it's very obviously to me, Mr. Mixes Piddalick.
Probably.
I think that's like the only character you could play in my mind. But Crypto would be kind of cool too. Dano, you know Peach Momoko?
Yeah.
She did some magic cards. Look at that.
Whoa.
And they're like foily and rainbowy and pretty cool. So I thought that was fun. Good for her. Get the bag.
All right. Quick news.
Yeah, quick news.
I'm cool with it.
Sometimes a slow week, and that's good.
I was flipping through. I'm like, maybe there's something here.
Yeah, let me see if there's anything big.
Did you hear that Marvel and DC lose their superhero trademarks?
Like the trademark of superhero?
Yeah.
Do they have that?
Yeah, they owned it for like a long time.
Both of them joint own superhero?
Yeah, I guess so.
So like people can't... What does that mean?
Like
people can't call... their superheroes in whatever property they're doing.
Yeah, maybe that's why like the boys says like soups and soups. Stuff like that.
Yeah,
or I think in like Incredibles it's like they call them the supers.
Really?
They don't say like superhero. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, good. That's so lame to have.
Yeah, super dumb.
Yeah, so fuck that.
Like it's hardly news.
When like Batman and Superman become public domain,
it'll be like,
it's like 15 years from now, right?
It's like 9 years from now. So it's...
Is it?
It's the Superman that was in Action Comics number one.
He will
that
become Superman public domain.
Will be in the public domain.
Right.
But not Superman as we know him now.
Right. So if people wanted to make a Superman horror game or whatever, they can still call him Clark Kent.
It wouldn't
Kent.
Be like a Superman that could like fly. It'd be a Superman who could like jump very far.
Shoot smaller versions of him out of his fingers. Remember that?
Yeah, that's shit. Or okay. Pick up a car, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I'm not looking forward to any of that shit, but it feels like it kind of already is because of how many like,
yeah,
soup-esque people there are.
I think we've exhausted that idea already. So
yeah, but people will still jump on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What book did we read this week, Nathan?
Daniel, we read Kiss/Army of Darkness, written by Chad Bowers and Chris Sims, with art by Rowery Coleman.
Coming from Dynamite Comics.
Coming from Dynamite.
Because this is a Dynamite comic, Nathan.
It is a Dynamite comic that we read. Yeah, what did you think of this?
I thought this was a pretty good time.
This is just bonkers.
So
most of it doesn't make any sense.
Maybe. But my experience of reading this was enhanced by watching Army of Darkness, which this pulls a ton from.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, so
I was gonna, and I was like, I wonder if it's a good book without it.
It's
and
almost
not as much.
It's almost as if it's basically the same plot as the movie Army of Darkness, but if like Kiss was there.
Right. And I'm familiar with like what happened in that movie.
I was not.
I
didn't even know it was in the past.
Yeah. No, I knew that. It's like sort of medieval times type thing, and like Castle, yeah, and like he like shows up there. There's like a car that he shows up with, right? I looked up like a thing when we were interviewing John Layman for Army of Darkness, Marvel Zombies, because I wanted to be like somewhat informed.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I'm aware of what happened in that movie's called Army of Darkness, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Because the first one's Evil Dead and then Army of Darkness, and then what's the third one called?
There's Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, then Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness is where it goes back in time.
Yes.
Got it.
And that is the third.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I think I know enough about Army of Darkness somehow to have read this and been
You've
like...
You've seen Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of it.
Yeah.
And there's also like a fourth one that was like a reboot by Fede Alvarez.
Yes.
But it's a continuation, but also a reboot somehow.
Wait, what I saw was Evil Dead Rise?
You saw Evil Dead Rise.
Okay.
Which is the most recent iteration.
God, that one's good.
Spin off. Yeah, fire.
That's so good. What a big comeback for a franchise, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. What, like 10 years later after the reboot?
Imagine having like six bad movies in a row and then.
I hope they do like random spin off things like that, you know?
Army of Darkness?
Evil Dead, yeah.
Evil Dead, like doing spinoffs as in like more of what Evil Dead Rise was,
right?
Or like pairing up with Kiss,
both.
That would be insane.
But as far as movies,
yeah,
like more Evil Dead Rise stuff,
right?
You know, okay. Evil Dead in different places, different time periods, different housing, different dwellings. You know,
yeah,
we got apartment, we got a cabin,
we do. Yep, that's good. Yep,
let's do a duplex next time.
A duplex,
you know?
Would be good. Perhaps a condo,
townhouse, maybe
townhouse. Town home?
Mm-hmm. A trailer.
Streets of LA. Dude, a trailer.
Yeah.
Dude. Wait, Evil Dead in a trailer park?
Oh.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, then the Evil Dead all have like weapons and guns.
Yeah,
and
they do. Whoa. Okay.
And meth.
You can take that one for free. Fede Alvarez.
I don't know who directed Evil Dead Rise, but it wasn't Fede Alvarez.
Yeah, I know. I don't know either.
But did you like this?
Not really. Like, it's kind of just insane, like just insanity, and there's things that like don't make sense just fine.
Sure.
But I like that.
To be honest, the movies don't make a ton of sense either.
I understand that, but I think do people like it to like almost like a cult level?
Yeah.
Because it's like a horror movie franchise that was willing to just get a little silly.
Well,
like, is maybe. That one of the first times that like happened?
Yeah, I think this is kind of like one of the earliest iterations of like horror comedy. The first one was definitely a cult classic because it was like $350,000 budget.
Yeah.
Then the second one, that was where more comedy came in.
Was that also Sam Raimi? The second
also
one?
Sam Raimi.
Okay.
He did most of them. The first three.
Cool.
These first three ones. So I thought this was fun because we had like Kiss Zombies and we did an Army of Darkness thing.
Yeah.
Why not both?
Why not put them together? No, I still think it's just fun that this exists.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have like magic powers, you know?
Yeah, it's fucking sick.
I'm like, what the fuck?
That's the best part.
I feel like the Kiss aspects of it were a little bit more shoehorned in than in the zombie one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like it is explained why they have like magic powers and stuff, but sometimes they just break out in a song and it's like, why? How did you get production out there? Like, how'd you get an amp and like your guitars and stuff? Like, there's just times where they just break out in a song.
It's the power of rock and roll.
And I guess it's just the power of rock and roll. So I was listening to Kiss while reading this as well to get me in the mood.
Ooh, that's good.
Which is kind of fun to do.
And then put your phone down.
Okay.
Pop quiz.
I don't know their names.
Come on.
Gene Simmons.
No. Like
Ace.
They're like
Starman.
Yeah. Or
Starhawk.
Further away.
Star Boy.
Close.
Like The Weeknd?
Another word for boy?
Star Child.
Yeah.
And then there's Ace. Is that his real name?
That's Space Ace.
Space Ace.
That's a version. Also the Spaceman. That works too.
Spaceman. I don't know what Gene Simmons is. I just know him as Gene Simmons. Hold on. Let's think.
He's the one that relates to this.
French Kiss.
To this property the most, probably.
Oral.
Because he...
Kiss Man.
What is a Deadite?
A Deadite is a zombie.
Kind of.
Demon?
There you go.
His name's Demon.
The Demon.
The Demon. Mm, okay.
All right. And there's a last one.
The cat one?
With whiskers. Yep.
Cat Man.
You got it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
The Demon, the Star Child, the Spaceman, and the Catman.
If I Google Catman right now, how long do you think it would take for me to reach a Kiss member?
instantly.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because when I think of Catman, I think of the character in fucking Fairly Odd Parents, played
Adam West.
By Adam West, yeah. Oh, let me see. I've never remembered their names. I read the first fucking, before you even get into the story, it tells you their names. And then, the first page of this, it tells you their names. I forget them immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, Catman is a comic book character.
What comes up?
DC Catman, who looks very similar to the Adam West character. What the fuck? Why is this a thing?
Ooh, dude. Next book?
Catman? That's definitely the Adam West character, right?
Whoa.
But the first one is Catman from DC, and look, there's the Adam West one.
Give me a trade, dude.
Give me a Catman trade. We could read it in the Adam West voice, dude.
I feel like that's a hard...
Dude, Catman and Kitten? yeah, no, I'll keep scrolling until I get...
Is it Cat Dash Man?
Oh, no, just kidding. I found Kiss Man.
Kiss Man.
Kiss Cat Man.
Is it Cat Dash Man or is it Cat Man one word?
It is Cat Man one word. I think it's from Batman comics. Probably no collected editions of his stuff.
This fucking blows.
Thomas Reese Blake is his name.
All right, let's get into it. We're stalling too much.
Yeah, we are. Okay, so we start with a Kiss concert, Daniel.
Yeah.
Of course. It tells you all of their first names, their legal names, which I feel like is not very rock and roll.
Yeah.
Because we got Ace, we got Peter, Gene, and Paul.
Yeah.
The most un-rock and roll names, I feel like, of all time. But there's a cult there that's called the Disciples of the Destroyer, and, you know, they're there, and they battle Kiss backstage because they have some beef. There's a girl whose family has studied the Necronomicon for generations and is trying to stop the cult, but she can't get into the Kiss concert, Daniel. They're all sold out because they're such a popular band.
Yeah.
Kiss has magic power somehow, but it's not enough to stop the cult's dark magic from using the Necronomicon to suck Kiss off into the Book of the Dead.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty sexy book. Good thing about Evil Dead and Army of Darkness, I love saying Necronomicon.
Great word.
Yeah, it is a good word. I get why people like it so much. Why? So
the power of the Destroyer,
yes,
is what Kiss has.
Okay, is that an Army of Darkness thing?
No,
it's not.
That's a Kiss thing.
Oh,
so there. You know the album cover that Kiss Zombies is like an homage to?
Yeah.
That album's called the Destroyer.
Ooh, okay.
And so the Destroyer is just like, I guess, this fictional being that gives them power.
Okay.
And they even use these powers at their concert. Like the demon has like dragon wings and flies around and shit. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Or I guess they just made up this lore to have kind of their own.
Well, I think that's power. Fun if they make music about the Destroyer?
I don't know.
I listened to their songs. It didn't really seem like it.
Yeah. Their music definitely doesn't match what they look like.
Their music is a lot of, dude, that's so true.
Like they look like a black metal band.
Made for loving you, baby. That's a TikTok song. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's so.
Oh yeah, that's crazy. Where people are like sprinting.
I feel like if their music was about like lore about why they look like that, that's kind of cool. But I don't think it is.
That's not hits, Nathan.
There could be hits in there,
maybe.
You know. But anyway, years later, the same girl Julie, who's trying to get to the Kiss concert, finds Ash Williams and tells him that he's the promised one. And that the band Kiss was granted supernatural powers by an eldritch force called the Destroyer and used it to make sick-ass music. But now they've been sucked off into the Necronomicon, so Ash needs to get them out and change history back because right now history is like being rewritten.
You saying that he got sucked in?
Ash did not get sucked in yet.
Okay.
But Kiss got sucked in and Julie's telling Ash that's what happened. And
right.
Ash is supposed to be the promised one, but because Kiss got sucked in, it fucked up the timeline, and so she's trying to convince Ash that he's the promised one, right?
So you see this page where she's opening a book.
Yeah.
And it shows like a character with like a chainsaw hand.
Yeah, it's Ash.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But that's like, she's like displaying it as if it's like history.
Right.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They have a page like this in Evil Dead 2 where like,
whoa,
they're looking at like some guy was here in the 1300s and he helps, you know, get rid of the evil dead. And Bruce is like, hmm. that was kind of, I'm like, that's definitely Ash.
He's like, he's got a chainsaw arm like me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, did he have a chainsaw arm then?
Not at that point.
How did he lose it? For real? Because Ash thinks that he lost it by putting his arm in a blender, which I think is funny.
Right. So this is like a alternate timeline, Ash. Right.
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't know how he actually lost it.
Right. So he's in like the cabin again in Evil Dead 2.
Okay.
And his hand, and just his hand, became like possessed for some reason. So it was like attacking him kind of thing.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
And he was like knocked out by his hand, and then his hand was like pulling his whole body towards like this cleaver to try and like kill him, I guess. I don't know what's gonna happen, but he has a knife and he stabs his own hand to stop it.
That's awesome.
And then he has his handy dandy chainsaw, and then he cuts off his own hand,
dude. And he's like, oh wow, this is perfect.
And then he wraps it up without a tourniquet, and he just doesn't bleed out because it doesn't matter.
Maybe it was a hot knife, Daniel. You don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe you heated it up.
Possibly. So that's how that happened.
What I do understand about this is that this like sequence of prophecies that they explain is like the events of Army of Darkness, right? Because like it shows him showing up randomly. That he like falls in with the car, right? And then he stops the Army of Darkness and he becomes ruler or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah. These are really good drawings, actually.
Yeah. So that's what I do recognize about this. Like, I just know the general storyline of that movie. But I like that they kind of explain it here. So the cult finds Julie and Ash, and they suck Ash off into the Necronomicon as well and throw him into the events of Army of Darkness, the movie, but years later from when he was supposed to show up. So the Army of Darkness is already there and taken over. And that's the second issue, or that's the first issue.
Yeah, so when he shows up there, the Deadites are kind of like a thing already.
Are they zombies or demons or somewhere in between?
Zombie demons.
Zombie demons, okay.
So they're undead bodies that are
possessed undead. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Because I wasn't really sure.
Yeah. So in this timeline, his girlfriend Linda like dumps him before they go to the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
But Linda is like in the movies, so like that's how that timeline is different, because she doesn't dump him,
right?
And it's a pretty big part.
Yep.
So it's just funny that like Ash goes back in time and Kiss is like his only hope.
Yeah.
You know,
he's like, well, they're going to meet somehow and they're going to have to interact.
And they just kind of explain like the world is like, where did they disappear to? You know, and the world just kind of wondered like where they went this whole time, you know, because no one really knows that they got like sucked up.
Oh, Kiss, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably a bunch of people there that were like waiting for an encore at the concert.
Yeah.
And they're like, are they coming out? What's going on here?
Yeah.
So issue 2. The Army of Darkness turns Ash into like a slave. They put some shackles or whatever on him. And there's also an elder, a guy named like the Elder One. He's like an old dude. And he tries explaining that what should have happened with Ash as the promised one, but Ash doesn't believe it. And then they throw Ash into a pit and he gets turned into a Deadite man dude.
So what's funny is like when he's like turned into a slave, whatever, and he has his head in like the little like shackle thing.
Mm-hmm.
His hands are in that too, but like one of his hands is cut off.
He could just slide that shit out.
Yeah.
But even if he did, like, what is he going to do with it?
That's, you know, true. But I just thought that was funny.
It is funny.
He's just like going with it, like keeping it in there.
It could have just been like regular shackles and it would have been the same,
right?
I guess. But, you know, but then I guess you just have the same mobility as like two hands. So I guess it makes sense that isn't the thing.
Right.
How do you get turned into a Deadite?
You like,
is it like,
you can like get like infected like a zombie,
like through your bloodstream, because he gets like his nuts crushed or whatever, and I assume, and then like a bunch of blood shoots out of the pit that he's in, so I assume it's like bloodborne based.
I don't know.
Okay, that's fine,
because like sometimes he just like turns into like a Deadite for like no reason, but he's got like a special necklace from like Linda or whatever, and it like turns him back somehow.
Okay, so it could be like magic based.
Potentially, yeah.
But It seems like if a deadite like bites you in your neck, you're probably going to turn into a deadite.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Because that could kill you.
Yes. I was not expecting Ash to turn into a deadite, and I'm like, this seems fucked.
Like, whoa, whoa,
everything's
whoa.
All fucked up now.
I saw this, and I'm like, is the real Ash going to come in now? Or
yeah. So then Kiss shows up to the castle to fight the deadites and save the elder dude, and the elder guy insists on bringing deadite Ash with them. And so they manage to knock Ash out and escape, which pisses off the leader of the deadites, which is Lady Sheila. And then Ash gets Kiss makeup, which has magic powers turning him back into human Ash.
It's the power of Kiss makeup.
That idea is very funny to me.
I love that.
But I feel like his Kiss design could have been better.
Yeah.
Because it just looks like a weird mask or something. Like, I wish they were, like, because not all of them are great, I think.
Sure.
I think the Gene Simmons one is good. The Starman one maybe is a little too Bowie, but maybe Bowie wasn't a thing yet.
True.
I don't know.
Spaceman's cool.
What is his?
It's like...
Oh, it's like the two stars.
I wouldn't simplify it that much. It like basically just kind of looks
this
like...
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Catman...
It's like silver, but very similar to like Gene Simmons.
Right, right. So...
Catman, weird.
Catman's just weird. He's got to be the weirdest one, right?
Yeah.
How did they... There should be like a... There's probably a Kiss documentary or something out there.
There's probably plenty.
Yeah. Or at least like YouTube video essays or something I can look at. Because it's... I wonder who was the guy to like come up to Kiss or the rest of the Kiss band. Because I assume it's one of them that like really likes comics and likes the idea of them being in comics. Is it like one of the Kiss characters or is it like their manager who really likes comics and is like, would you guys want to be in Marvel Zombies or whatever? You know?
Oh, I'm sure like at least when it started... You know,
it was probably just a Kiss comic.
They were just that big to where like a comic making like a comic was like a no brainer because they had all other kinds of memorabilia.
Yeah, it's just like the thing to do probably.
And then I'm sure at some point they just sold the comic rights to Dynamite or whatever, and then they just kind of do whatever at that point.
So you don't think they care about this at all?
I don't think they signed off on Army of Darkness.
I like the idea of like Starboy, Starchild, Starman, Starchild being like, man, I'd love to see us interact with Ash Williams from my favorite movie, Army of Darkness.
Maybe.
But yeah, I'm gonna just keep that lore in my head.
Sure, yeah. Make it your own. So the wise one, he was in Army of Darkness, and so was Lady Sheila.
Okay, Sheila is bad Sheila a thing?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
She's good Sheila first.
Good Sheila first, turns into bad Sheila. We find that out later in this book. But
right.
Okay, so then Kiss explains that they lost their powers trying to fulfill the prophecy, but lost their powers to the Necronomicon, or at least whenever they use their like magic powers, they're actually fueling the Necronomicon, so they can't use their magic. And that led their friend Sheila to turn into a deadite leader when she tried to take down the Necronomicon on her own. Then they figure out Ash was supposed to be at the Kiss concert, which would have led him on the path to being the promised one and getting sucked into the Necronomicon when he was supposed to. But the cult fucked up the timeline, and so they are like, all right, the five of us, you know, with regular Sheila, need to go attack tonight and set history right, which is nonsense. But but it's funny that, like, the what is it called? The continuity moment or whatever from Spider-Man.
Oh, canon event.
The canon event is just Ash going to a Kiss concert. I think it's kind of fun.
I think it's neat that Kiss has, like, medieval armor.
Yeah, that is fun, actually.
That was fun. And then, like, I don't know if you noticed, but their horses that they ride off in, they have these like...
Do they have face paint?
They don't have face paint, but they have like armor helmet things that resembles like their makeup.
No, I didn't see that.
Which is a fantastic detail that is too small.
Like, yeah, it is too small. I wish we saw more of their horses.
Definitely.
That's super cool. Now, I like this book a little bit more now because of that.
Yeah, there's...
Because you know Kiss like gave their horses armor and right. They're like... How do we know which ones are? So they're all white.
It doesn't matter. We can just grab them.
We can just paint the thing.
Take what's available.
No, I'm sure they were like possessive over the horses. So they're like, okay, mine's going to have the star on it. Like the star on my face.
This is Demon Horse.
Yeah.
This is Star Horse.
Gene Simmons has the horse with the longest tongue.
Yeah.
So issue 3, Kiss goes around different villages advertising their concert to take down the deadite, which is fun. And Sheila explains that bad Sheila is a version of her that grew from dead flesh of her hand, who went on to control the Necronomicon and the Deadites. So does this happen in the movie? Does she cut off her own hand? And why does she do that? Why did she feel the need to cut off her own hand?
No, I don't think so. She's just a normal person at that castle. and she's very skeptical of Ash when he comes in, you know?
Yeah.
And then over time, like, he, like, grows on her, you know?
Yeah.
And there's even... It's funny because, like, he's not adjusting to the time that he's in.
Right.
Because, like, he gets, like, close to her and he, like, you know, embraces her. And he's like, give me some sugar, baby. And I'm like, good line, Riz. And
his, like, specific, like, flavor of Riz is kind of funny.
Undeniable.
Yeah.
But no, she, like, I can't remember how, but she becomes, like, a deadite. But then, like, she's... By the end of the movie, it's, like, turned off or something. I think because they destroy...
Okay, so there's not good Sheila and bad Sheila that exist at the same time. Okay.
Yeah.
Because in here, they explain that it says, I took refuge in an abandoned windmill, but even though I severed my own hand, the evil would not be denied. And I'm like, why are you cutting off your hand?
Right.
What's the situation where you need to cut off your hand?
That's off-panel, I think.
That's insane. Because they don't explain that. I feel like if you cut off your hand, that's a big decision. I don't. That's not one I would take lightly. But maybe... Her hand got fucking infected like Ash's did, maybe. But maybe. It just ended up, I don't know, turning into one.
There's like a just kind of fundamental comic thing that I had. So yeah. There's these people that see like the flyer be put up.
Uh-huh.
And this kid is like running past like his parents or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, Alistar, don't. But I'm like, how do they let him get past them? Because they're in the door.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. He should have, like, jumped through the window or something.
Right. Or, like, it's a big door or something.
Yeah.
So they can get past him.
Yeah, that's true. They are directly in his path. That could have stopped him easily.
And whoever made the kiss flyers is incredible.
Yeah, who's got a fucking professional-grade pen yeah. to, like...
Is there a printing press around here?
Yeah.
I don't know when that came out, but I don't think it was this time.
Like... Yeah, they probably don't have a printing press, so that means that they put this level of detail into multiple flyers.
Right.
And, like, put them around different villages, I guess. Because
they needed to...
To rally some people together.
To get, like, an army.
A kiss army.
Yeah.
That's what they call their fans.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the local villagers come, not to rally behind them, but to turn them in to the Deadites to hope that they go easy on them a little bit more. But Ash is able to convince them to not do that and instead unite with them, which they are convinced to do when Kiss just randomly breaks out in a concert and singing Back in the New York Groove or whatever that song's called with just like a full stage production. And they're like out in the middle of a field. So like, how did they get their guitars? Their guitars are like made out of wood, I guess.
Yeah.
And their drums are made out of wood.
Acoustic, baby.
I guess so.
And there's no strings on the guitar.
It seems like that seems like they just did that randomly, because they were just like out in the middle of a field, and so when they just break out in the song, I was like, what is happening here?
Right.
So it's just kind of silly. So the Deadites show up to fight, but Kiss now has a different kind of magic, which is Kiss magic, that stems from their fans, like the energy of their fans,
the Kiss army.
And so since it's
the
not,
power of the Kiss army,
since
Nathan.
It's not destroyer magic, they have Kiss army magic. They're able to use it and fight back. But Bad Sheila burns off Ash's Kiss makeup, turning him into a Deadite.
There's a funny moment before that,
mm-hmm.
where Good Sheila and Ash are like getting real close.
Yeah, they're about to kiss.
Yeah, but he's like, no, I can't. I have eyes for another back home or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And also, I don't want to smear my makeup.
Yeah, that would have been pretty dangerous.
Right. I didn't think about like... what would happen when he smears his makeup? I thought he was just worried about his makeup, you know?
You were just like
it's like, oh, it's valid, yeah.
Like, this is pretty, like, Kiss did that to me. Do you understand what that means?
Yeah.
I'm never washing my face again. Yeah. But the way that Bad Sheila takes off his makeup is insane, because she, like, sticks a full, like, fire torch in his face to, like, burn it off, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's enough to make him into a Deadite. So I just think it's a little extra, but kind of fun. So in issue 4... Sheila fights back against Bad Sheila and Deadite Ash, but they realize that the Kiss army is winning, so the Deadites retreat. But they actually harness all of the dark energy of the Army of Darkness into Deadite Ash to become like their champion to fight Kiss. And Ash replicates himself into 4 clones so that they all just 1v1 the different Kiss members in a fight.
So
why can he do that? Why is he able to just replicate himself randomly?
So there is this kind of like nightmare moment to where a second head was growing on Ash's body, mm-hmm. and then it just kind of kept growing into like another person and was like
So this
like
is,
how this is. And
this is an in-universe thing.
So it was like a clone kind of thing, okay, that he had. But then that clone became like a Deadite and was like the leader of the Army of Darkness.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is like not too far left field to be like...
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't this writer being like, you know what? Deadites can replicate themselves now.
Yeah, clones. Why not?
Clones. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Because, I mean, there is that. That's like, it's kind of... I see why you'd think that. But then again, like the Evil Dead are just so like undefined and like there's not that many rules to it.
Yeah, that I wouldn't like.
It's kind of like the Force. You can kind of just add whatever you want to it.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't know if.
There's not like strict rules necessarily.
It hasn't been like defined by,
yeah.
You know, Sam Raimi. He just kind of does what he wants. And then
he definitely does do just whatever he wants. So I like when Gene Simmons rips out the Deadeye Ash's tongue in this sequence. I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah,
because like he's like Deadeye Ash is like flexing how big his tongue is. He's like jealous.
Yeah,
and then he makes a how it's not the size, it's how you use it joke.
Yeah,
which is a little on the nose, but you know. So the elder man steps in to say that the prophecy speaks of one warrior. So he uses some magic and combines all of the members of KISS, like it's like a Megazord or whatever from Power Rangers.
Yep,
and he creates the embodiment of the KISS army as one champion, which is like a big devil dude with a cool sword and wings.
Maybe that's the destroyer.
Yeah, could be. That's probably what it is. I really like his sword though.
Good sword
design. So that's I mean does the elder in the movie have like magic powers like this?
The elder,
yeah, whoever the old dude was, because you said the old dude.
Oh, no, he doesn't do shit.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Then the Necronomicon channels all of its energy into Deadeye Ash to like have a chance to fight back. But the energy between the Necronomicon and Deadeye Ash gets interrupted by Sheela. So in like a quick decision, the Necronomicon just sucks KISS and Ash back into it, transporting them somewhere else in time. And that's how the issue ends. But my question is, could he have just like done that at any time?
Who?
The Necronomicon? Because if he pulls out this move and like a move like in just desperation, could he not have just sucked up KISS and sent them somewhere else so that he could do his thing at this time?
I don't know. I just
think it's interesting.
The Necronomicon doesn't like come to life in the movies.
It doesn't talk?
Yeah, at least in the ones I've seen.
I think it does eventually. That's like a thing that happens.
Says who? Says you?
Well, like I looked up a video and I've seen the thing talk.
Okay, maybe it's one
I think
seen.
It eventually grows a face and talks.
It's got the face, but it doesn't like open its eyes.
I think I've seen that.
Okay.
But I don't know. You're the...
There's one I haven't seen.
You're the Army of Darkness expert. Wait, you actually watch all the movies?
I haven't seen the remake one. The Fede Alvarez one.
Oh, okay.
But I watched all the old ones.
Oh, okay. So maybe I'm wrong.
Did you notice the donk on Starman?
No, I didn't. What?
This is page 84.
That's crazy.
He gets, like, body slammed by Evil Ash.
Damn, he's got an ass. Yeah, look at those.
He's got a fucking...
Look at those hams.
Yeah, dude. Is this based in Brazil with that butt lift, dude?
Do you think they were ever this buff?
Yeah, I looked at old pictures of them. They used to be like really skinny and kind of shredded. They were like big, you know,
but like because, shredded at least because, is still
yeah, because when you're like skinny you kind of just have abs and that's kind of what they look like.
Okay, cool.
They definitely look like comic characters in this, so
right, so they're a bit more beefy.
Yeah, the best years are behind them, but
there was
a time where they all looked pretty good.
That's cool. Imagine just being with your boys, putting on makeup, fucking lifting weights or whatever.
Having abs.
And then just playing KISS songs.
Always being shirtless. Talking about your love gun.
I do. This band is interesting.
I like how we're like learning a lot of stuff about KISS through comic books.
One of the only people to ever do that, probably.
Yeah, where they're having like tie-ins and stuff.
And I'm just finding out about them and being like, you know what? They are actually interesting. Like, I get it. I get it why people were into them in the 80s.
I don't think it's from their 70s. Lore. It was just from like the way they looked.
I know the way they looked, but it's intriguing because I think that's what's intriguing me.
Yeah. We're living in the perfect KISS time where there's documentaries and there's info about them.
Yeah. And that's available.
Right.
Do you know how many plays their top song has on Spotify?
What's their top song?
I Was Made for Loving You.
A billion.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
1 billion plays.
That's crazy.
Spotify hasn't even been a thing. Like, so there's more plays.
I feel like TikTok kind of helped with that.
It did, but like the second one.
Because there's not a ton of billion play songs.
There's not.
It's mostly stuff from like. But you like know,
their
this,
other ones are
century,
still like 500 a 500 mil, you know?
Yeah.
So that's insane. Shout out to them.
Definitely.
Catman looks weird in person. I like him. He looks much better in comic form. I'll just say that. All right. Anyway, issue 5. So we're out of Army of Darkness movie era. We're 700 years later from then.
In the present-ish.
Not exactly present. Still kind of in the past, but more in the present than Army of Darkness movie era.
They go to the cabin, Nathan.
We're at the cabin. We're at the time when the cult from the beginning originally finds the Necronomicon and accidentally unleash Kiss and regular Ash because he's not a Deadeye anymore. I don't know why that's the case. Did they think about that?
I don't know.
Maybe you're only a Deadeye for a couple years and then it just like the magic wears off.
Honestly, you watch it, it doesn't make sense. Like, you think once you're Deadeye, you're always a Deadeye kind of thing, but with him, it flip-flops for some reason.
Seems pretty permanent.
Does he have a necklace on? That could be it.
Maybe. Doesn't look like it. So Kiss and the cult fight, and Ash tries to leave.
Well, the Destroyer stabs the Deadeye Ash with his, like, magic sword.
Oh, so maybe that takes it out of him.
Potentially.
Okay, I would believe that.
That's enough for me.
That's enough. We can make up that lore.
Moving on.
Yeah. So the cult, they accidentally unleash Kiss when they open up the Necronomicon, and they start fighting. They're able to use their regular Kiss magic, I think. And then Ash is like, I want no part of this. He tries to leave. He finds a shotgun in a shed.
He calls it his boomstick.
His boomstick. I do like that. Is that the origin of that? The origin of that? Probably not, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
Let's say it is.
Like, that's like 87.
Nah, it's probably some before that.
And he uses his chainsaw to cut it off to make a sawed-off shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty dope.
Boomstick. I like this little throwaway joke where apparently Ace, or like one of the Kiss members, was just completely aware of all 700 years.
Oh, yeah. Because like,
what a terrible existence to live
in. He like wrote songs in his head.
Said he wrote a song that was like 16 months long. Like, yeah, you would be that bored for sure.
Yeah, like everyone everybody else somehow.
Yeah, everybody else was like, oh man, 5 minutes ago, we were fucking in Army of Darkness, the movie. And he's like, nope, I've been aware this entire time.
Yeah.
Insanity. So the cult leader uses the Necronomicon to become a Deadeye leader, but Ash just kind of walks up behind him and shotguns him from behind. And he quotes the song Love Gun from Kiss.
Mm-hmm,
in case it wasn't a different rock band, it was the Kiss song.
Right.
Then the rest of the cult sees this. They run away. And because the cult leader is dead, Kiss's timeline is corrected because they never intervene like in the beginning of the comic, and they disappear into the original timeline, but Ash is still there.
Well said.
What's funny to me about this is that they are like fading out of existence, and they're like, oh, our timeline was corrected, we're going away now, and they're like pretty chill about it. But if that was happening to me, I'd be like, I'm dying right now. You're seeing me die.
that version of you is dying. Yeah.
I know. But are they, like, when they go back, I wouldn't be happy about this in their situation.
Yeah.
I'd be like, put me back there and I'll just act like how I was going to act before, you know?
Were you able to piece together why the cult was fighting Kiss?
No. They just wanted power, the Necronomicon power.
Yeah, and they had, like, paint on their face that looked like the demon makeup.
Maybe they were jealous that they had better makeup than them.
Maybe.
Because they only put just red Kiss makeup on their face.
Right.
And they're like, you know what, they're cooler. We got to take them out. So Ash, confused on why he wasn't corrected and thrown back into his timeline, ends up running into Julie, because that's like her family's cabin, I guess. They go to the Kiss concert that Ash was at in the 70s, or, you know, whatever was supposed to like set him on his timeline to get corrected. And because the Ash from this timeline actually goes to see the Kiss concert, it corrects the timeline and sends Ash back to his time, where he's able to like watch Kiss rock or whatever. So he just like fades out into existence, and because the timeline got corrected and everything's all good. And then the book ends with a Kiss song that I don't recognize. So it's like God gave rock and roll something. I listened to the song.
I think it's
God gave rock and roll to you too.
I think that's the name of the song.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, I just looked it up.
So did you mention that like the correct Ash and this Ash, like
he does see himself in this concert. I don't really know what he did to correct his timeline, though. Like, why wouldn't he fade into his time? Because he doesn't do anything to affect past Ash or whatever, or like correct anything on his end. So I don't know why he doesn't fade into his timeline with Kiss.
Right.
Because he didn't do anything else. He just kind of like made sure that old Ash went to the concert.
Getting rid of the cult doesn't affect him.
It does, because he would have gone and seen that Kiss concert if not for that cult.
Did the cult send him back?
The cult prevented Ash from seeing Kiss.
They did?
At like his next show or something? Because Kiss went away when the cult were fucking with him and sucked him off into the Necronomicon.
Oh, that's why he didn't go to the show.
That's why he didn't go to the show. But I guess okay. Kiss had seen them before at a different show in the past, which is where they're at in like the 70s or something.
Hmm.
So I don't know, like, I just don't know why he, like, it's a nice moment to,
you know,
see.
I thought I had a good grasp on this, but
I don't, dude. It fucking makes no sense.
I think it does. We just don't got it.
I've tried my best to figure out why, what the time travel.
I'm gonna assume that it's perfect.
Me too. I'll just assume it's perfect.
Well, so I think because this, he goes to the Kiss show like he's always supposed to.
Right. But he did anyway. This Kiss show was not the one that fucked up.
Not this Ash.
Oh.
This Ash never went to the Kiss concert. But now that he did go to the Kiss concert, this one dies. And then the other one that we know and love continues on.
Okay.
So it's kind of like his timeline is like disappears in a way.
Yeah. I think in my head, this is like 10 years before the events of like the cult. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. In my head, this concert before his timeline gets corrected,
I think it's like just a 10 couple years days before.
Yeah, a couple days or whatever. But
yeah, it's like that same tour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, cool. Glad we cleared that up.
It's perfect. Don't even think about it.
I knew it.
And I think it's fun that it ends with like kiss stuff. So that will go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
It's a bunch of covers. We see all of the Kiss members as Necronomicon people, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then just like random covers from people I don't really recognize, but they're pretty solid covers. Did you see that Greg Smallwood was coloring all of the
variants?
The covers that were in between the issues?
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
It's weird.
He got us start with
Kiss Norman Darkest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not necessarily what you'd expect from him, just because like he's normally like coloring himself, but when he's doing it like another artist, it's like it doesn't necessarily stand out that much.
It's still pretty like vibrant, like his kind of style tends to be, but yeah, I agree. But a lot of these covers are by Ken Hazer or Goni.
And then we get an ad showing like all the other Army of Darkness comics that there are.
Do we? Oh, I didn't get that.
There's Danger Girl, Army of Darkness, Army of Darkness Hackslash, Vampirella, Army of Darkness, and then just kind of main title Army of Darkness stuff.
Really? I didn't get any of those.
Oh, there's like an Omni and all the different crossovers and stuff.
Wow.
So, pretty cool.
Pretty fun. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
Oh, there's also a comic from Dynamite. It's called Kiss, the Demon. So, I think it's all about Gene Simmons.
Cool.
Written by Amy Chu and Eric Burnham.
Okay.
4-issue miniseries. That's cool.
So you... Wait, what did you pick up? Like an omnibus of this?
No, just trade.
Really?
This is on Hoopla, so whatever's on
okay.
Which gotcha. Is the trade, so I guess it's just a little different.
Yeah, different trade, I guess.
Nathan, I rate this some Kiss ice cream I Googled.
Oh, nice. Wait, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just...
Don't they have a Kiss popsicle that's like the face of Gene Simmons?
I tried looking for that, and I feel like it should be a thing, but this is the first thing I found.
Okay, interesting. I give it a cookies and cream, like it, because it's like white and black, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then I put one red gummy worm where the mouth would be on the ice cream.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's what I'd give that.
On the ice cream's mouth.
Yeah, but it's like it. You know, I definitely had more fun with the Kiss Zombies one, because I think there's more organic like Kiss moments in there, and I think that's kind of what I like about it. Like, that book should not have worked, I think, as well as it did.
That's why I read them, you know?
Yeah. But
for the Kiss moments.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care about Army of Darkness. I want Kiss.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely interested in reading more Kiss comics. I just think it's funny that they are so ingrained in comics. There's like so many things that they've done, I guess.
Yeah, I think that...
I just think it's fun.
That's one of my favorite things about comics, you know?
What other band could do that, you know?
There's a lot of Beatles comics, I guess, but like not quite on the level of crossovers, you know?
No, I want like...
Because
because like I don't imagine they're doing like funky comic book stuff, really, you know?
Right, because they have like the look, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That you can play into and is like fun for people.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a Guar comic.
Guar?
Guar.
Okay, nice. I would read... There's probably like some silly like solo artist dude, and that'd be a good comic.
Maybe like a
comic guy.
Maybe like a Daft Punk comic.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I guess like a Deadmau5 or something.
Nah,
whoever looks has like a look to them. Maybe yeah. Blue Man Group.
Blue Man Group's not bad. They're just silent the whole time. It's a silent comic.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Or it's, they cross over with the Army of Darkness and Ash is all the talking.
I like that. I like that a lot too. That's pretty good.
Anyway, let's get into the poll list. Colin,
shove it in your box.
The poll list. The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Then did you get the DC All-In special?
I flipped through it and I was like, I'm not going to find the time to read this. So
is it like teasers for everything, or is it?
I don't know.
Some setup thing.
I think it's like a setup thing.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a big deal. My shop ordered a lot of them.
Yeah.
Which I think is like a sign of like, okay, they were confident that people would be interested in this because it leads up to Absolute stuff. But I'm down to just like wait for the Absolute stuff to come out. I don't really need any context. So.
Sure. Okay.
So, I mean, I flipped through. There's like some...
Isn't Absolute Power kind of like a setup for it too?
Probably.
Hmm. Aren't you reading that?
I'm 1 issue in.
Okay.
I have 2, 3, and 4, which came out today.
That doesn't help me. 2, 3, and 4 came out today?
No, 4 came out today.
Ah.
But I have 2 and 3 and now 4.
What else did you get today?
I picked up Plastic Man number 2.
Plastic Man No More.
Plastic Man No More, but he's got some more to come out.
Plastic Man No Mas.
That's the Spanish version. Hasn't come out yet.
I couldn't possibly have any more Plastic Man. No more Plastic Man, please.
Yes. I'm good. Thank you. Plastic Man, say when. That's good. Thank you. Batman, whatever number we're on, I picked up. And then Falling in Love on the Path to Hell, number 3.
Ah, yes.
And that's it.
Goku. You didn't get Creature Commandos?
No.
Nope.
No, thank you.
That's cool. I'll probably get Plastic Man, too, and I'll flip through the Crisis thing. Did you read anything, Nathan?
I read the rest of Power Fantasy number 2.
Mm, yes.
Because I read like the first half of it last week. Still good. There's kind of a lot going on. But most of this was kind of like a reaction to what happened in the first issue.
Valid.
But some interesting stuff going on there, for sure. And then I also read The Moon is Following Us by Daniel Warren Johnson and Riley Rossmo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild.
Yeah, it's really good art.
It's really good art. Did you read it?
I did.
Yeah, really good art. It's like some really, really solid Riley Rossmo, but like in a, not like what I, how I'm used to seeing him. So I think it's cool that he's kind of branching out a little bit, it seems.
Did you like the sniper frog character?
The frog I did kind of like, actually. Because, he's shooting like big like LMGs into the air to try and help his boys. So I'm like, this guy's kind of cool. He's not a creepy frog, so that's good.
Mm, good frog.
Good frog, I would say. Not many of those.
They drew the girl in that like super thick.
So thick, dude.
And it was distracting.
It was, dude. There's certain panels where I'm like, wow, Riley, come on. And then it's what I didn't expect was Daniel Warren Johnson has pages as well. When they go out of the dream sequence thing.
Oh, yeah.
Those are Daniel Warren Johnson pages.
Okay.
He draws her super thick as well. I'm like, this is the thickest Daniel Warren Johnson character, which is saying something because in Do a Power Bomb, that one girl is pretty thick.
Yeah. Wait. Do a Power Bomb. Yeah. I think that's just like a secret ingredient.
Dude,
like,
it is.
You just have to have super thick women
in
your comics.
I'm sold.
Hey,
I don't know if that's the reason why.
They're trying to move units, Nathan.
No wonder he gets so many fucking Eisners, this guy.
You suggested a book for this month called Grimm, and the character in that is super thick. And I'm like,
that's great.
I'm like, do I like this book because she's thick, or is it actually a good book? You know?
Could be both. Could be one or the other, and that's fine too.
Gotta have both. It's a secret ingredient.
Yeah.
It's a secret recipe.
But yeah, I think this book's really fun. I like wasn't super sold on it like in the very beginning because I was like, what is happening right now? What are the rules here? And then it like really just comes together at the end when they explain what the fuck just happened. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. Like when there's that like reveal, I would say.
Yeah.
I was like, this is sick. I'm definitely going to be picking up the rest. So I don't know if it's like an ongoing thing or limited.
It's like four or five.
Probably. Yeah. It seems like the kind of series that'd be limited. So
yeah.
But yeah. I liked it. A lot of crazy designs. It is insane. Like some of the designs that Riley Rossmo's.
It's very high energy.
Very high energy, but like really creative designs.
They work just really well together.
I agree.
Not only because they have like similar art styles, but like, I don't know. It just seems like they kind of bounce off each other and they just work really well together.
I think they've been boys for a while, so.
Because I feel like I'd be resistant to other artists that, you know, Daniel Warren Johnson is writing.
Yeah.
But because this is like so close, it doesn't like bother me.
Yeah. It seems like a really fun collaboration.
Yeah.
Because like, I think they can match each other's freak when it comes to like just just like random, the most random things just happening in a comic. Like there's like those minions that were like, you know, chasing after them in the thing, or just the character that gave him that cube. He looks fucking weird as hell, right?
So he's cool, yeah.
I think they know how to work with each other and like just with artists. Daniel Warren Johnson just knows how to work with an artist, right? Just
and let him. It probably helps free that the writer is like an artist, so he can kind of like,
oh for sure,
give a little sketch as far as like a design kind of thing.
I'm sure they collaborate and be like, this is what I have in mind, or if he just like, if it doesn't really matter what they look like, he could be like, go crazy, you know. Right. So it really feels like they have that kind of fun. So I enjoyed it a lot.
Cool.
And that's everything I read.
I actually got quite a bit of reading done this week.
Nice. Let's hear it.
I read Frankenstein 1 and 2.
Nice.
That book's awesome.
Really?
Have you read it?
No, I have not yet.
It's gorgeous.
Cool. Of course, Michael Walsh.
Yeah, Michael Walsh on top of his game. This would make a nice trade once it's all out.
Nice.
I wish it was longer, so it'd just be a bigger trade, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's got a limited color palette, which is kind of like a Francesco Francavilla thing. Okay. And it works really well.
Like it kind of sticks to like one color theme kind of deal, or like is it like green and orange or whatever?
It's like green but different types of green.
Cool. Yeah, I like that.
It's possibly the vibiest horror comic like ever.
Oh, I love vibes.
Because the vibes are off the charts. As far as spooky vibes, you know?
Feel free to put that quote on the trade dress.
Vibes are off the charts. Some podcaster.
Yeah, some dude. Some dude that likes Michael Walsh.
So I was, it's like, you get through the issues really quickly, but they're very good. I liked it a lot.
Cool.
Killer covers.
And nice. Stuff like that. I do have those and I'm excited to read them.
Yeah, so that's push good. That up. I read The Deviant, number one.
Nice.
Which
nice.
Is like the horror Christmas comic by James Tynion. That's interesting. There's a lot more to that, and I only bought the first issue. So
I think number 8 just came out for that.
Yeah. I don't know if we should ever read that for horror month or for Christmas month. So
let's do a Christmas thing. Yeah. There's not enough of those, you know, so if it's quality enough to do it.
Yeah, maybe. I read Plastic Man No Mas.
Nice.
Solid. I liked it a lot. They have really good artwork, and I like what like they're like doing with that.
Yeah. And I think it's a banger.
Yeah, how like no one's really like taking him seriously, but he's got like a serious thing going on.
Yeah, and he's like, dude, I'm dying here. I got my fucking arm in a bag because it's melting.
There's, yeah,
you know,
it wasn't quite the level of body horror that I thought it was going to be, but there's definitely more room for that. So.
I agree, and I think as his condition worsens, it'll definitely get there.
Yeah,
but I was expecting a little bit more in the beginning to like really hook you.
Sure,
but I was hooked anyway because there's like. They do some bold things in there where there's like a full splash page of just like Plastic Man and his son just kind of like arguing.
Yeah.
And it's just like the one thing and they fit a lot. So they do some interesting things in there.
Yeah.
I also think it's very uncomfortable when we first see him like melting or whatever and he like leaks into like his drain.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, he's not getting that back, you know? So, yeah, it's fun. I'm definitely interested in issue 2 of that, which I just picked up this week, so.
Yeah, I got that because my shop like had extra copies or something. I don't know if there's like a shipping thing or they just got more. I don't think there's a second printing, so I think it's still the first printing that I got.
Yeah, I don't think there's one as of yet.
Came out like 2 weeks ago or something, so yep. Pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I read Knights vs. Samurai by David Deshmotion.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get Samurai until the last page, so that's a bit of a bummer. It's written well enough and it looks pretty good. I'm not going to be going forward with it, though. I read Creepshow number one, like the Jim Sadarsky one.
Oh, nice.
And James Stokoe.
He's the artist?
He did the second half story.
Oh, okay. Cool, cool, cool.
And they're interesting. I don't think I like anthologies, or at least this, like Creepshow. Like, I don't, maybe I just don't know what Creepshow is, and maybe they're nailing it. You know, but for me, I'm just like,
they could be doing really good.
I'm like, this isn't that creepy. It's yeah, just okay. Because they're so short, you know, it's like,
how many pages?
I guess since there's just the two stories, like 12 pages 12? Or yeah. 10 pages or something.
Was it James Stokoe writing and drawing?
Art and drawing, yeah. It looked great, you know, but like the story, I'm just like, this is okay. Because like, it feels like,
were they like they little set self-contained up a thing?
Yeah, yeah, that's all it is.
Is it like a Goosebumps type of scary, or like a, was it trying to be
kind of
scarier?
Yeah, it's like they set it up, there's like a second act, and then it just kind of like doesn't really resolve, it feels like. But I don't know,
I think it continues on, doesn't it?
No, like the next issue will be a different creative team and stuff like that.
Interesting. Okay,
so yeah, it's kind of like Ice Cream Man but even shorter,
right?
Because those are at least like the issues are more self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read The Missionary, Nathan.
Oh, I was going to read that. I didn't have time.
By Ryan Stegman and some other guy.
I forget his name. I like his stuff, though.
It's awesome.
Is it good?
It's very good.
Cool.
Might be my favorite distillery book so far.
Any other positions that they do? Because it's called The Missionary?
There's positions that you haven't even heard of.
Whoa. Nice. Dude, did you see what Ryan Stegman tweeted about the book? It like actually made me laugh a lot. I'll find it.
But he's been very funny on Twitter lately.
Dude, he's always been super. He's like the most underrated, like funny guy on Twitter, like comics guy. Anyway, tell me about the book.
I don't know what I was expecting, but what it was is not what I was expecting. And there's a lot of elements to it that I think really work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was definitely skeptical with Ryan Stegman writing.
Yeah, because this is his first time doing it.
Right, but he's very good at it, and I'm excited for the rest of this night. I almost wish it wasn't just the three issues that the distillery has been.
Wow.
I'd wish it. I'm like, already
Jason Howard's name. Artist, sorry.
Jason Howard?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's very good as well.
Yeah, he's great.
There's great ideas in this. I don't know if maybe it's just a fully loaded first issue, but I think this could be longer than just the three issues, you know?
That's a big praise.
Like at least like 6 or 10 or something like that, you know?
Yeah. The tweet that made me laugh is, today's missionary number one day. To celebrate, send us a pic of you and your person of your choice doing missionary, and we will send you a free cease and desist letter from our lawyers.
Yeah. That's like, a well thought out tweet.
What an absurd tweet. Like clearly he knows like this is a wild, wild title, you know, the missionary. Yeah. So. But yeah, cool. I'm excited to read it.
Definitely get to it. It's good stuff. Did you watch anything, Nathan?
I watched half of The Spaceman, that Adam Sandler one.
Ooh, the first half?
First half. I fell asleep. Or first like 70%. I was watching a movie to fall asleep. And this one was quiet enough of a movie to where I could actually fall asleep.
Fall asleep movie, yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Paul Dano being like, oh, why are you afraid of your wife? And then I just like fell asleep. But yeah. I'm sure it ends great. Or it doesn't.
Can't remember.
I was interested in how they filmed a lot of it.
Yeah,
because it seems like he was actually in zero g, and I don't know if you can do that in film.
Maybe it was just like a string.
He was on a string the whole time.
Yep.
Like a pinata.
Yeah,
so I had fun watching that, but I haven't really had the chance to watch anything else.
So I watched the Evil Dead movies, like I was telling you.
Yep.
I watched Evil Dead 1 like 2 years ago maybe. Mm-hmm. And then I just got to Evil Dead 2, which a lot of people like more. This one is considered a requel, Nathan. Requel. Like it's like a reboot, but also like a sequel kind of thing. Because he just goes back to the cabin for some reason. Okay. It's not explained. I was a little zooted for the first couple minutes and I fell asleep. And so I just continued from where I was.
Nice.
And he was just in the cabin.
Okay.
So I think the story behind it is like he wanted to make Army of Darkness as the second movie. But his like financier or whatever was just like, no, make something closer to like the first one,
right?
You know, because that worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's continuing it, and then also just made the first one but with like 10 times the budget.
Okay,
you know, cool. What I mean, so I looked up the budget after the fact because there's some shots I'm like, okay, this is low budget, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like 10 times the budget is like only like $3 million still.
Yeah, that's still a lot of people would say like indie film, low budget.
Right. Because there's a shot at the beginning where he's like driving to the cabin. He goes over like a bridge, and it's like a wide shot where you see like the car going over a bridge.
Yeah.
And it's just like a toy, like going over a toy bridge.
Is it really?
Yeah. I'm like, that's a toy. That's not a real car. Like, they just like didn't have a point to put a camera to show like a bridge.
They thought they were doing some fucking Star Wars shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like some part where like he's looking at the clouds and they're just like cartoon clouds. They're trying to make it look like real clouds. They're making the clouds do something specific.
They like animated it?
Yeah. It's just like cartoons like in the sky.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so there's just like a lot of funny parts in that. In this one, Ash kind of looks like Handsome Squidward in some spots.
Cool.
Yeah, like look at that man.
Whoa.
He's just got like such divine cheekbones. Yeah. And like jawline and shit like that.
What happened? That's crazy.
Yeah, he's just, that's just like what he looked like in the 80s.
That's, you know? Wow, good for him.
Yeah. And so I'm like, this is a beautiful man.
It is.
He gets all cut up and very shit chiseled. To make him less beautiful. So I told you how he cut off his hand.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I kind of just wrote some shit down that I'm like, wanted to mention. I guess the Deadites, when they bleed like green.
That's fun.
Yeah, like they're like the Oregon Ducks fans. Like, we bleed green and yellow kind of thing.
Okay.
And there's a bit where some people that he's with go into the woods and like the trees, they like move. And then they like, I don't know, they like move around and like can grab people. I'm like, so does the evil dead just control trees, or are the trees possessed by the evil dead? It was just weird.
Like, they move around. They don't just like wiggle in place. Like, they physically move themselves to a different spot.
Like, both. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm like,
that's kind of scary.
Yeah. I mean, like, it works for like a scary movie, but I'm like, as far as like you thinking about the lore of Evil Dead, I'm like, what do the trees have to do with it?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, trees are living things.
Yeah. And anyway, they have the Necronomicon, and then some girl, she like says some magic words, and he's sucked up into like a portal. And then he is dropped into the 1300s. Mm-hmm. With his car.
Yep.
And there's like a evil dead dragon that is flying by with all these knights are like, who are you? You know, but then he like just shoots it with his shotgun.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, oh my God.
He's got magic.
He's a savior or whatever. And then I go and watch Army of Darkness right afterwards. And they just kind of retcon that last scene.
What?
As if like he drops down and then he's a prisoner right away.
Whoa, he doesn't shoot the dragon?
Doesn't shoot the dragon.
Wow, that sucks. That dragon
is used later.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It takes Sheila.
That sucks.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, he had such a good rapport at the end of this last movie. And so I was like, I guess when they started writing Army of Darkness, they're like, we can't start him off this way.
Yeah. He's got to start off pretty low.
Right.
That's funny.
And so the beginning of Army of Darkness, I texted you about, they kind of recap Evil Dead 1 and 2
yeah.
in the movie, and it's kind of weird. But I'm like, I guess if you wanted more context for this book, you could just watch Army of Darkness and you wouldn't be that lost necessarily. Yeah. So things you kind of have to just ignore is that Ash has his boomstick, right?
Yeah.
The shotgun. And just like unlimited bullets.
Really?
Yeah, like it's never like an issue.
Does he ever?
He shoots shit all the time.
Is it like a double barreled thing?
Yeah.
Does he ever reload it?
Yeah, he reloads it all the time, but with his one hand. He like, you know, folds it and then puts it on his like bat arm, and then he puts the fucking shells in.
So he still, it's not like attached to his bat arm.
No.
Like, he just shoots it with his arm. He'll
have like chainsaw and then like boomstick.
Cool.
Ooh, and in Evil Dead 2, when he gets his chainsaw arm, he installs it and he's like groovy. It's awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's a very funny part. Oh, in Arm of Darkness, somehow he gets this like very fully functional like armor hand, like it moves according to like his nerves.
I remember.
I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
I remember seeing that
in the 1300s
in the recap. Yeah.
Oh, you did.
You should be Ash Williams for Halloween. Just get a chainsaw in your hand and a shotgun.
That'd be sick.
That would be cool.
And then Sarah's like
a deadite.
Evil Sheila.
Evil Sheila. She would love to be Evil Sheila.
Yeah. It's just dark makeup and like looks insane.
Yeah. Everyone's like, are you bad Sheila?
So his evil clone leads the Army of Darkness. And it's like a legit like army. Like it's a bunch of skeletons and stuff. Mm-hmm. They even have like, you know how like skeletons. In armies they have like the snares and like the flutes and stuff?
Yeah.
They have that.
They have like bannermen in, essentially?
Yeah. And they're like playing little flutes. They're just little bones with holes in it. And it's awesome.
Whoa.
And the battle that goes on between like this castle with like knights and like the evil dead, it's kind of like the Game of Thrones season 8 battle we never got.
That's big. That's a big claim.
It's fucking sick. I saw a Letterboxd review that agreed with me. I'm like, yes, it's not just me. Because like,
was it huge?
It's very big. Yeah, it's really cool.
Nice.
It's like, it's that claymation like skeleton as far as like the effects go.
Stop.
But it's done super well.
Stop motion.
What did I say?
Claymation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen that.
So this one, it's not very horror other than maybe like the clone part,
just the silly situation kind of deal,
or it's like a, it's like more like action,
yeah,
kind of thing, you know, or like fantasy-esque.
Mm-hmm. So Army of Darkness comes out.
Yes.
Then nothing until the Fede Alvarez one.
Yeah, 2013, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, and I think Army of Darkness was like 92.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost like,
and then there's one more after that before Rise. Is that right?
No.
It was the Fede Alvarez one and then Rise.
Correct.
Hmm.
Well, actually, there's Ash versus the Evil Dead, which is like a TV show.
Oh, yeah, a TV show. Did you watch that?
I like watched a couple episodes.
Okay.
I'm more, but I watched that before watching anything else Evil Dead.
Yeah, it seems like you fucked up how you jumped onto this thing.
I just heard it was a good show. I'm like, I'll watch this. I was like, I'll pick up. Right.
Was it a good show?
Yeah, it's done really well.
Cool.
Maybe I'll appreciate it more knowing like some lore and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Ash, when he does like the give me some sugar baby line on like on this lady from the past.
Yeah.
It's like assume that they smash. And then at the end of this battle thing, he just has to like go back to the future. And it's like the greatest hit it and quit it excuse ever.
Oh, like, sorry, babe.
Babe, I'm not from here.
Oh, dear.
I gotta go back to where I'm from.
Darn, I wish you were part of my time.
Yeah.
But later. That is funny to think about.
Yeah. But yeah, good movies. I like them a lot. You kind of have to have a tolerance for the classics, you know, old stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but they are really fun. I think they kind of hold up.
Yeah, it seems like they're fun to just think about, like, how they made them and, like, what was going through their heads.
If you can appreciate, like, some camp, you know, then you're good to go.
I think everyone should appreciate a healthy level of camp and what they watch and
consume. Sarah's fucking sick of Evil Dead after watching all these.
Did she watch all of them with you?
She was, like, in the room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then we saw Transformers 1.
We did see Transformers 1.
What'd you think?
Pretty good movie.
Pretty good.
Don't think I liked it as much as other people seem to like it, but I'm glad people like it.
I thought it was fucking rad.
It is pretty fucking rad.
I was like, I can't wait to rewatch this with my children someday. You know?
It is definitely one of those movies. There's like definitely some like really funny parts in it too.
Yeah.
Like in the very beginning, they start off with just like the best joke of the movie. Yeah. Which, like visually, this movie's spectacular.
Absolutely.
The designs of the Transformers, what Cybertron looks like.
Baller.
What they're fucking...
The Primes, dude.
The Primes look insane.
The coolest shit I've ever seen.
The job that they have is like very kind of fun and interesting.
Yeah, it's set up in... And
the
it's
mountains
a very,
fucking
a very
transport.
Classist environment, you know?
Like the
capitalism
way,
at its core.
The capitalism... Yeah, and like the infrastructure of how they like get around. There's like trains that make their own train tracks as you go along. And I'm like, what the... How does that even fucking work?
They just go wherever the fuck.
Yeah, there's like Transformer deer, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is all just like very...
The mountains are transforming, Nathan.
It's all just very fun to look at. And so that's what I think is spectacular about it. And then some of the story parts are honestly like pretty... Like the story itself is honestly pretty good. Mm-hmm. There's just some parts in there I wish they did a little bit differently. But...
Yeah, like the what was the dude's name? Like Celestial Prime or something?
Which one?
The John Hamm.
Sentinel Prime.
Yeah. I saw him. I'm like, he's so evil.
He's the worst person.
Yeah.
You can just like tell. I'm like, something fishy's going on for sure.
I was like, all right, this is not going to shock me.
Yeah.
Turns out he's a bad guy kind of thing.
Yeah. I like the race that they had in the beginning.
Yeah, that was sick.
I was like, this is just the Olympics or whatever. And they're like, you know, we could beat the Olympics.
Yeah.
Did Optimus Prime have a different name before he's Optimus?
Yeah. His name was like Ares something.
Orion. Orion Pax in this. But that's like what it was?
Yeah, brothers with Anderson .Paak.
Whoa. Good artist.
Yeah, they just like had different names. And
I didn't know that.
I guess you got a prime name. That might be lore just to this.
It could be, but I could see if it's not, you know. But
right.
I like actually Chris Hemsworth's performance quite a bit.
It was weird sometimes that he didn't have his accent.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, I almost prefer like an Australian Optimus Prime, you know?
That'd be kind of cool.
Just so that it wouldn't feel weird.
Yeah.
And then like towards the end, he like started doing like the, like an impersonation of Peter, whatever.
Peter
Mulligan?
I don't know. Peter, it doesn't start with a G. Peter.
No, no.
Daniel, do you love Starscream?
I did not love Starscream, voiced by Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi.
Which was the biggest fumble.
That's the funniest.
I don't know who I'd fan cast as Starscream, but it's not that.
Starscream's kind of a goofy...
He always has kind of a scratchy voice.
Scratchy, and he's kind of like a bitch, you know?
Yeah, he is. I don't know. I always thought Starscream was cool.
But it did feel off just like hearing him be Starscream in this.
Yeah. So.
It's Peter Cullen who does Michael Bay movie ones for Optimus. But yeah, so I mean, I think it's really fun. I think the thing that I had a problem with is how D16 just kind of like turns on a dime as far as like him turning bad. It happens very abruptly. I understand like why he goes like a little bit crazy and like turns evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like the motive, everything's kind of explained. It just happens so abruptly and it doesn't feel like it's spaced out very much.
Yeah. I mean, he's upset and then he's like, gets like a little violent and then
it's just like,
apparently if you get violent, you just become evil kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's like how it, because it seemed like when he was in that rage, it like almost evolved
it
every time it happened.
Like it. Yeah.
Which like we know like how it was going to end up. So I was just kind of like rolling with it.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that he was definitely Megatron from the start.
It's a pretty stacked cast.
Pretty awesome cast.
Like literally like everyone was like someone you know from a movie or something.
Yeah. I think Keegan Michael Key was a little bit distracting at times.
I like how he had like his little like scrap robots that he built. And one was AA-tron.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, good. What a deep cut.
That's not really. I mean, he's kind of known for that skit, like I would say the most.
Yeah, but just the fact that they were able to, they just AA-tron decided to put that into the Transformers movie. Super, you know? Funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I think having the different, you know, like the voice cast is pretty insane. So
one of my favorite parts was like towards the end when they can transform and stuff. Optimus like is holding on to like some bad transformer or whatever, and then he transforms while holding on to them and it like rips them in half.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, dude, the action in this is really fun. Like, actually,
this is a kid's movie. What's happening? That guy was murdered.
That guy was ripped in half.
Yeah.
I like that when they get their cogs, they like scale up a little bit in size.
Yeah, they like upgrade a little bit.
I think it's kind of fun.
They get shiny.
Yeah. Like the whole idea of cogs in general, I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like born with that. That's what allows you to transform. But they just like take that out and profit off of it. Or like the bad guys in this movie
do. It's like the Transformer foreskin.
Yes.
Yeah. It's taken away from them.
You get snipped. And you could have been bigger.
Could have been bigger.
Just kidding.
Last shiny here.
What I don't understand is what you transform into. Is that your decision? Because Optimus is the truck. Megatron's like the tank. ScarJo's the bike or whatever. Like, is that just... How does that work? I wonder. I mean, it doesn't matter ultimately, but
they're born this way, Nathan.
They are born that way.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
I think the biggest question is like, how are their cars if they haven't been to like Earth, but they're just like alien vehicles or whatever.
Yeah. I wasn't too bothered by that actually.
Yeah. Cause they're definitely like alien looking designs or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a whole subplot kind of thing to where why the evil guy is evil. And it's basically because he's being like controlled by these like alien creature things,
which we don't know a fucking thing about.
Yeah.
And that never gets any closure. They're set up
very, very scary. And then they just kind of assume that they go away.
Yeah. That's another thing I didn't like about it.
Because everyone got what they wanted kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I didn't understand that at all. Like, who are they? They're still a problem, I assume. You know, maybe in Transformers 2, it'll be like more.
Well, they wanted more energon, but there wasn't enough energon because like the
seems like there's a lot of energon on that planet.
The thing of the thing of leadership or whatever.
Yeah.
That was missing. because of that guy, the evil guy.
Yeah.
I guess because they got the leadership thing, the energon was flowing at the end. Everyone's happy. Even the aliens get their energon and shit.
It seems like we should maybe figure out what, you know, what the fuck they were.
Yeah. Is it possible that they could have too much energon or
it
something?
It didn't seem like they were nice people.
They didn't seem like they're from the planet either.
Yeah, exactly. They had like tentacles and shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was just kind of like a weird thing, and they didn't really address it too much. And I mean, if energon was flowing and Sentinel Prime is the one that stopped it from flowing, but if it does flow, things are chill. Yeah. I don't know. It was just kind of interesting to me.
I think a lot of people were upset with how this movie is like marketed. It's kind of more towards like kids and whatnot, which is kind of is.
It's a kids movie.
Yeah, it is a kids movie, but it's like
adults.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Adults are just mad that they didn't know that it's pretty cool, you know?
Right. But like the thing
I
is,
they
like,
did a pretty good job.
I feel like you should market towards kids because that's a pretty big market. And then yeah. Inside Out makes like $1 billion or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
But
I thought they like I knew what this movie was.
Yeah, I wasn't shocked by anything, really.
Yeah.
Maybe I just had a lot of faith.
Yeah.
But like this movie, like I think just broke even like this weekend.
Hell yeah.
So
we're getting another
but
one.
But that's just like budget wise, not like advertising wise.
Yeah, no, so it probably like, didn't like actually make a profit. But right. Do you think they're going to make another one? Because if it has a lot of popularity online, which it seems like it does, and it's getting people talking about Transformers,
I think,
at least from what I've seen, then
Transformers being animated is like the perfect format
totally.
For it, especially this like 3D style.
Yeah.
And if they're able to keep making features that way, then I think the possibilities are endless.
Totally.
Because I think these are better than most of like the live action ones.
Yeah.
And those are just like limited.
And they definitely have like a layup for what their next movie could be, which is like the actual Autobot Decepticon war. That's
or they're just like kind of the build up to that.
Yeah, build up to that. You know, they could get a couple movies out of that, I'm sure. So, and I would definitely see another one. So
remember how you like weren't going to see this?
Yeah, I wasn't like super interested in it.
Were you like, wow, Past Nathan was stupid?
Not really.
What a dumb that guy is.
I left the movie and I was like, that was fun.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I saw it with my boys.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't like just go. I could have waited and seen it on streaming. Yeah, I think.
I'm glad that Parker was down because.
That's like what I think convinced me. I'm like, okay, there's two people in my life that want to see it. So let's all go see it together, I guess.
If all the dumb shit I want to see, I'll just run it past Parker and then we'll include you.
But like, it was like you had this crazy energy to want to go see it. And I'm like, it's just Daniel being Daniel. And then Parker
had what's this Daniel energy. Being Daniel?
Well, like, I don't know. I'm
like, I ironically want to see things.
Sometimes,
yeah.
Yeah, 100% you do.
Like Madame Web.
And then, yeah, well, that's a good movie. That's a bad example. I'm just kidding. But yeah.
Like, I knew this had potential.
I knew it was probably pretty good. It had some, like, pretty good jokes people were saying, and it did. I laughed quite a bit, I would say, during this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I'm glad I watched it. What do you want from me?
Yeah, we read comics, Nathan, and then...
We didn't read the comics. Didn't prepare me at all for the lore of this movie.
Yeah, I don't want them to keep making more Mark Wahlberg movies. I want them to make more of these.
You know? I agree.
So it's like the only way I know how to potentially make that happen is to go see some shit in
the
theaters.
They're not like confusing to look at, which is good. Like the designs of the Transformers themselves.
Like the cartoons. And
the
like
cartoons, yeah.
They're more just like, simplified than the Bay shit. Yeah,
bigger parts that interact with each other.
I know what I'm looking at when I'm watching those movies.
Yeah, it's insane.
Except for Bumblebee. That one was shit. Or was the shit.
The shit? I haven't seen that movie. Just Bumblebee.
Very good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Big fan.
Sophie says she cried during that.
Me too.
I'm like, wow. Sophie was like really happy with the movie too. So oh, I was glad to see that.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't tell.
Me, Parker, and Sophie would be on a group text without you.
Like, just convince me to see movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like,
let's go Kraven the Hunter.
I was interested because I was like, I was like watching this and I'm like, this is fucking cool. But I don't know if that was like my little boy brain being like, fuck yeah, dude.
That's all you need. That's half of the reason why I watch things.
Well, yeah, I know. But like to see that Sophie also like really enjoyed it probably more than me, I was like, okay, so this is like a good thing for everybody, not just like
because RC was in there.
Yeah, RC's great. She's a girl.
Representation.
Yeah. I liked Lawrence Fishburne in this, his character.
He was killer.
I was like,
is that fucking Lawrence Fishburne? This is awesome.
Yeah, I thought he was just a narrator in the beginning, and I'm like, ah, it's kind of a waste of Lawrence Fishburne.
I didn't pick up on that earlier.
Yeah, he is, and then he's a fucking prime. He looks awesome. He's got a great design, super big, and they turned into a Panther Transformer. And I'm like, that's
pretty
cool.
I thought he was like a panther unicorn thing. he had like a horn.
I think he was a horny transformer.
Horny panther.
Horny panther.
He was a sex panther.
Yeah, that's just visually, it's great. So I had a lot of fun with it. Good jokes.
Yeah, this is just, it just relates too much to like what our childhood was, like getting like the toys, you know, and then watching like the cartoons and shit. And so it's like that, it just like is speaking to the like nostalgia, but like having something new.
I don't know if I have a crazy amount of nostalgia for Transformers though.
I feel like I had so many of those toys.
We had the toys for sure.
Yeah.
But if I had a toy now, I would transform it once and be like, cool. You know,
I almost bought one recently because they had one that was like the DeLorean,
Transformer DeLorean.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like, and it was like the time machine one.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Had Back to the Future on the box too.
Yeah. I don't think this tapped into like a level of nostalgia though. I just think it was fun. So I also like just the noise of them like running around and being all clunky and like metal, like clunking on metal. It's just a funny noise to me.
Yeah.
So whenever like Optimus would be like running away from the situation, like just the running animation and stuff too is very lively and funny. So
yeah,
it's good shit. I'd watch another in good theaters. Stuff.
In theaters.
Yeah.
All right. What are we gonna read next week? All right, Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
Are we doing Shiver? Is that what it was?
No, that's the last week.
That's the last week. Okay, so next week we're doing what? Do we need to figure it out?
Yeah, so I suggested The Maniac of New York.
The Maniac of New York. I actually haven't looked at it.
That's the one I just showed you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Down for that?
Yep.
Okay.
Looks good.
Sorry, I'm suggesting so many things.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot.
I just think about this a lot.
I know. Yeah. And that's great, so I don't have to think about it. yeah, let's do that. The cool. Maniac New York next week.
Yeah, it's an Aftershock book.
We don't do a lot of those.
I think I heard Patton Oswalt like recommend it on a comic podcast or something.
Cool.
And that's the only way it was on my radar. And it had a couple like sequel runs too.
That means somebody liked it.
Somebody liked it.
That's cool.
Good thing.
Sweet. So yeah, thanks everybody for watching and listening.
Yeah, we got our link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe some stuff.
Yeah.
Give us some 5 stars.
Email in. Tell us what your favorite horror book is.
Yeah.
And who your favorite Transformer is. Is it Thunderlips? As a real Transformer, look it up.
Is it Thrust?
Who do you think should be in Transformers 2 and why it should be Thrust and Thunderlips?
TerrorizedPod@gmail.com.
Let us know if you know any Kiss lore, because I don't.
Yeah. Who's your favorite Kiss member?
Favorite Kiss comic. What comics do you kiss? A separate question.
Other than Saga.
Kiss comic and comics obvious. You kiss.
Yeah.
Give us those 2 comics. Okay?
Perfect.
Yeah. Email in tradewarriorspod@gmail.com. And give us a follow on everything.
Link go forth. The pod has ended. Goodbye.
Bye.